listeners, the category is Famous Buckeyes. Here's your clue. Born in Dayton, this current Oaklander spent 40 Jeopardy games with host Ken Jennings, the only former contestant with a longer winning streak than her. If you said Amy Schneider, you'd be wrong. But if you said, who is Amy Schneider, you would be right. Oh, I got a horn for that? Very exciting. Amy is known for an on-point buzzer game, vast knowledge of a lot, a strategy that was based in confidence and caution. Many fans were excited to see her back behind the podium for the Tournament of Champions, which aired earlier this month, almost exactly a year to the day since the win that kicked off her 40-game streak. And what a year it's been for Amy. A month after taking home her $1.6 million in winnings, she got engaged to her partner Genevieve and married in May. Then she became the first openly trans person to play in Jeopardy's Tournament of Champions, and Amy is using her newfound fame to help others. Earlier this month, she headed back to her home state, where a proposed bill in the Ohio legislature would prevent trans kids from accessing gender-affirming medical care. Here's what she told lawmakers in her home state about how that care changed her life.
The best metaphor that I've come up with is that it's as if from the moment I was born, there was this quiet alarm going off in the back of my head, you know, danger, danger, clang, 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 all the time. And after decades of living with that agony, I came out as trans and I began receiving gender-affirming care. And for the first time in my life, that alarm went silent and I knew peace and quiet for the first time. The only way I was able to live with it before was because I thought there was no other way to live. But to have that, have gotten this peace and to have that alarm turned back on now would be so devastating. And that's, for me, a grown woman who has so much going for her. But there are kids in this state that, you know, don't have so much going for them. And if nothing else, they're dealing with the normal problems and anxieties of just growing up. But they have found, they have achieved that same peace. They have had that alarm bell silenced for them because of the health care that they have been able to receive. And so what I'm asking here today, please don't take that away from them.
Amy Schneider joins me now. Amy, nice to meet you.
Same.
We're going to get to all the bajillion Jeopardy questions I have, but I really want to talk about the serious stuff first, this bill in Ohio, this proposed bill in Ohio. The video of your testimony begins with a placard announcing Amy Schneider, Jeopardy champion, Ohio, born and raised. Clearly, you're proud of being from the Buckeye State. Just tell me something about you that lets me know you are from Ohio without saying I'm from Ohio.
I think it's an outrage that North Carolina has first in flight or whatever on their license plate.
Excellent. Obviously, you know, in your life, you are a software engineer. You are not a professional activist. What moved you to give this testimony?
Well, you know, it's something that I'd been thinking about. I have this platform that I never particularly expected to have. And, you know, living in the Bay Area as I do, there's sort of nothing to fight against in there. Like, we're doing fine. But, you know, I know people in Ohio. I know trans people. I know trans kids in Ohio. And, you know, I was really scared for what's happening to them. And so when the opportunity came for me to do, you know, some piece of resistance of fighting against this awful bill, I really felt I had no choice.
How did you first hear about it?
It was a friend of mine from high school let me know, and the that works with the organization Equality Ohio. So that was the organization that really, like, was, you know, my hosts for the day.
At first glance, when you first started to learn about it, what was troubling to you? And then as you started to dig deeper into it, because you're a smart person who knows things and probably did research, what else became more troubling?
Well, I think, you know, this isn't obviously the first time a law like this has been proposed in various states. So I've known about it. And I think that, you know, the thing that's scary about it is that, you know, that lives are on the line, that this gender-affirming care is life-saving medical care. And for it to be taken away from children, you know, there's the studies, you know, the statistics are clear that will result in death. And I just, it's so upsetting to me that It's children that are being targeted in all of this. That these laws are specifically going after the most vulnerable, the least able to defend themselves. People that can't vote. They're being attacked by people with so much more power than them, and it's just upsetting. Yeah.
When you were thinking about your testimony, you went out of your way to say you weren't judging those who support the bill, that you knew about the studies that supported your argument, the ones many that you just mentioned, and that you would instead speak from your own experience. As you were crafting your statement, why did you take this the personal approach?
Well, I mean, it's a couple of reasons. One is, you know, I wanted to actually change people's minds if possible. I didn't want to just go yell at people, although there's, you know, definitely a part of me that wants to yell. And beyond that, you know, I was raised in a conservative environment. You know, I understand people who are transphobic because I once was. You know, we were all my age and older raised with these awful stereotypes of trans people. And so I know that many of the people who would support a bill like this genuinely believe that they're doing what's best for children and they're trying to protect children. And so, you know, that's something that we all share. We all want to protect children. And so I don't want to make them feel like bad people for doing what they genuinely believe is right.
What are myths that you hear frequently about gender-affirming care that you would like to put to rest, or that you would like to address in this very open way that you do?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the biggest ones is that it's experimental, that it's untested, and all these sorts of things. But I think the other big one is that the idea that there are doctors out there who have some sort of agenda to force this care on children. You know, that's not what doctors do. Doctors know the science, they know the pros and cons of all of this, and they're not rushing to give children anything that's irreversible. They're not, you know, they have children's best interests at heart, and they're the experts in this area.
You know, as you mentioned, that you have this platform. It wasn't something you expected in your lifetime. How have you taken care of yourself and protected yourself from what I'm sure occasionally is some pretty hideous backlash?
Yeah, I mean, most of it is just like ignoring it and not looking for it, which was, you know, there is that temptation. And when this first started, there was a temptation to go kind of, you know, read the comments, read the replies and see that stuff. But, you know, it doesn't do me any good. Addressing it wouldn't change anybody's mind. So I just like leave that out. But really, the thing that made it so easy was that there hasn't been as much of that as I feared. And there's been far more support and encouragement than I had expected. And so, you know, every negative thing is balanced by so many positive things, people telling me what a difference I've made in their lives and their families' lives. So, yeah, it's a lot more pleasant to just focus on that.
My guest is Amy Schneider, software developer, very thoughtful person, and Jeopardy champion. Okay, can we talk about Jeopardy now too as well?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Your recent victory, it came out as a champion of the Truman Champions. Congratulations, first of all. Did you do to prepare for this tournament, competing against some of Jeopardy's most successful contestants?
Yeah, I mean, just sort of mostly the same stuff that I did preparing for my first time around, which is primarily just going through the archives of all the Jeopardy clues and just reviewing them. But then, you know, both the first time and this time, a lot of the key was mental preparation. And, you know, this was a different kind of pressure. You know, the first time around, nobody knew who I was. Nobody else had any expectations of me. And this time, you know, coming around, having won the most games of the season, having people tell me all year that I was going to win, it was definitely a different sort of mental preparation to, you know, be able to put that out of my mind and to just play the game and let it, you know, let whatever happened happen.
You sound like a musician who put out their first album, and it goes to number one, and then they don't want to have sophomore slump. And then you always talk to them and they say, I just want to play the music, man. I just want to play the game.
Yeah.
You talk on Twitter about working with other contestants to come up with fun pantomimes during the show's introductions. What is it like behind the scenes taping the Tournament of Champions? You've all been there before, so there's got to be at least some level of comfort.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's also just a level of camaraderie. You know, anybody that's there, we're all kind of similar, compatible people. And, you know, it was really fun. You know, like, we're all there to compete against each other, but it didn't feel, you know, it didn't feel competitive. It felt like we were all there. We were all rooting for each other. And we all just wanted everybody to play at their best and to make it the best tournament possible.
This piece of information, I think, will make some people feel, give people a little bit of a smile, that after the tournament aired, your tournament win aired, you went out and played trivia night with your friends and you guys came in third.
That's right.
What is it like to play casual trivia after such an intense experience?
Well, I mean, that was the first time I'd done it. It had been something I've been a little, you know, sort of wary of, and how people would feel about seeing me in their at their bar playing trivia. But, you know, it was fine. Everybody was just, you know, like, happy to, you know, have a celebrity there and whatever. And we just got crushed on the music round. So here we are.
She's human. She doesn't know everything. Do you remember what questions were tough? You said the music round. Was there one
particular? Well, I mean, the music round is generally always tough for me. But this one, like, of all the songs that they played, there was not one that I'm certain I've ever heard in my life. So it was just like, a train wreck on my side.
For you, someone like you who clearly has a thirst for knowledge, do you then go look up those songs or try to check them out? Or is that just, that's not my wheelhouse, letting it go?
Yeah, more or less, I let it go. I mean, music specifically, there's just an infinite amount of music out there. And there's no way to really, like, you know, I just have to have been somebody that's listened to music my whole life, and I'm not that person. So there's just no way to catch up on that. If it's something like in an area of like history or geography or things like that I know a lot more about, then yeah, maybe I'd go back and want to study up on that more.
Your tenure in Jeopardy during your winning streak last year came at kind of a turbulent time in the show's history, following the death of Alex Trebek, some drama about who would succeed him as the show's host. Obviously, you're a fan of the show, longtime fan of the show. What impact did that have on you, if any, as you were competing, that the show itself became news?
Right. I mean, well, first of all, I was like sort of directly affected by the turbulence, and it took a year for them to get me actually scheduled after they said I was going to be there because of all the stuff that was going on. But yeah, I was just, you know, I am a lifelong fan of the show, and I just hated to see, you know, all these negative headlines about it. And so, you know, I was just really glad that I could, you know, get the story back to what it's always supposed to be about with Jeopardy, is the players and the game, and just see people talking about it the way I'd like to see them talking about it.
You do a lot of Jeopardy fan outreach, especially on Twitter. Why have you decided to be someone who engages? Why is it important to you to be available?
You know, I think one thing is just that, like, all the sort of behind the scenes information that I put out there is just stuff that I would have always been curious about. And so I'm just thinking, what would I want to see? What would I want, you know, to come out of that? And so, you know, that's just sort of how it started. And then beyond that, I'm just generally a pretty, like, open, transparent person. And, like, if people want to know things, I want to share it with them.
You've talked about being a curious person ever since you were a kid. What advice would you give parents for feeding their kids' curiosity?
You know, I would say to be careful not to make it work and not to make it, you know, an assignment. Like, obviously, school is work. You've got to get your homework done and all that sort of thing. But make sure to separate learning and curiosity from results. Like, you know, that was something that was important when I was growing up, is that it's fun to learn things just for their own sake, regardless of whether they ever turn out to be, you know, quote unquote, practically useful.
What was the last book you read?
I just read one called The Fall of Japan, about the last days of World War II, kind of from the Japanese perspective, which was really interesting, about, you know, all the people that were trying to surrender and the other people that were trying to, like, stage a coup to keep them from surrendering, even though the war was clearly lost. That was kind of interesting.
And finally, what do you do to relax? We watch Jeopardy. I'm not sure you can watch Jeopardy and relax at this point.
Yeah, no, it does feel a little stressful. No, just, you know, hang out with my wife and the cats for the most part. You know, we've got date nights on Thursdays. We're definitely trying to explore the restaurants of the Bay Area. Yeah.
My guest has been Amy Schneider, Jeopardy champion, software developer, thoughtful person, and someone speaking up for trans kids. Amy, nice to meet you.
Thanks.